Hello and welcome back for another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
Jean Marie is not with us today.
But she is in spirit.
Yes, she is.
And collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with Jenny Jones. Jenny was diagnosed as a child with the rare disease familial adenomatous polyposis, or FAP, and short bowel syndrome. She lived with an ileostomy for 6 years before having it reversed into a straight pull-through. In her spare time, Jenny shares about life with rare diseases on Life's a Polyp blog and YouTube channel. She raises funds for, and you hopefully can explain this, NORD, FAP, Research Fund through Life's a Polyp Shop, and she's writing a children's book about FAP. Congratulations.
That's nice.
And Jenny graduated with a master's degree in social work and worked with individuals with chronic illnesses. Good morning, Jenny, and hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's great to have you on the show. Jenny, could you first tell us what is familial adenomatous, I can't say that, polyposis, also referred as FAP,
adenomatous
polyposis coli, or Gardner syndrome? I can't say any of those words.
I know, it's not easy.
Do you have to have a degree? Yeah, do you have to have a degree to say these?
FAP is a rare hereditary colon cancer syndrome.
Oh.
It will eventually cause colon cancer, and it can have other extracolonic manifestations. And there's a risk of other cancers, too, within and outside of the GI tract.
Oh, gosh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between inherited FAP and spontaneous FAP?
With inherited FAP, their parent has the disease. So their offspring of someone with FAP will have a 50-50 chance of inheriting it, whereas with spontaneous FAP, it's the gene mutation without any family history of it. And according to the Mayo Clinic, 20 to 35% of diagnosed cases are from a spontaneous mutation.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha. Okay. And you were diagnosed at such a young age because you have familial or
inherited
FAP and your healthcare providers knew what they were looking for. Is that right?
Yeah, I was diagnosed at 8 because I was having chronic stomach pain, and that's what led me to go to the doctors. My parents knew that FAP runs in my family because my mom has it, and my grandpa and his siblings had it too. But because I was having the risk of it and the stomach pains, my parents got me to a GI specialist.
Right.
And when she heard about the family history, she immediately ordered testing to determine if I had it. And I do.
Okay. Gotcha. So the symptoms associated with FAP are just stomach pains. Is it like cramping, or what kind of symptoms are they?
Well, actually, I was having the stomach pain because I was pre-ulcerous in my stomach. So I wasn't having actually any symptoms of FAP. But every case is different. And some of the common signs and symptoms include hundreds to thousands of precancerous polyps in the colon and or the rectum. There's possible formation of polyps in the small intestine, abdomen, bile duct, and pancreas duct. There is also non-cancerous masses that can form anywhere in the body, which may result in damage to nerves, organs, and blood vessels. There can be benign skin tumors, osteomas, anemia, retinal changes, and dental changes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with.
Right.
Especially when you're starting at such a young age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the good thing with that, though, is, you know,
they know what they're looking for. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what tests help diagnose FAP, and how often do you need to get screened now that you know that you've got this?
So a simple genetic test can determine if you have FAP, but colonoscopies are used too. Once diagnosed with FAP, it's recommended to have the colonoscopy and endoscopy regular. The frequency depends on the number of polyps found. Some FAP patients may require monitoring every few months, whereas others might be once a year or every 2 years.
Wow.
Okay. And what do they use to monitor? What screening techniques?
Colonoscopies and the upper endoscopy are most often used.
Oh, okay, okay.
But CT scans and MRIs can help monitor things as well.
Okay.
And wouldn't you think by now that they would be able to just do a CT scan of the colon instead of a scope? I mean, that's a horribly invasive thing.
Yeah, but they do need to be able to take the biopsies of polyps down.
Okay,
they can
okay.
test them.
All right. That makes sense. All right. How have you or your healthcare team chosen to treat this condition?
So I had my colon removed when I was a kid. My precancerous polyps in my colon were starting to turn cancerous, so we needed to act fast. I had an ileostomy that was later reversed into the straight pull-through, but it was originally supposed to be a J-pouch, but I had complications.
Okay,
so
before you go any further, what is a straight pull-through? I know what a J-tube is, and I know what an ileostomy, what's a straight pull-through?
So the straight pull-through, it with the J-pouch, they use your small intestine to make a reservoir. Mm-hmm. But with the straight pull-through, I didn't have enough intestine left to do that. So they just connected me directly, my small intestine, to the anus.
Okay, okay. So that's what a straight pull,
reservoir.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's just straight through, no reservoir created.
Okay. So go ahead and continue then.
Yes.
Okay. So now I have regular upper and lower GI scopes, like the I don't have a colon, but I guess you would still call it a colonoscopy.
Yeah, right, right.
And the endoscopy.
Okay.
I take a lot of medicines to help manage my side effects of not having a colon. And there's also medications that can help slow the growth of polyps. But my doctors decided that the side effects of that was worse than my actual polyp growth that I have.
Oh, wow.
They took me off of those.
What are some of the side effects of not the medicine you take for not having the colon?
Well, so I have to take medicine for my vitamins and my electrolytes and mm-hmm. minerals because I'm low on all of those.
Right, because you have nothing to absorb.
Right. And then I also have to take anti-diarrhea medicine sometimes because of the short bowel syndrome from not having the colon.
Okay. And this has been since 8 years old.
Yes. Well, my first surgery was when I was 9.
Okay.
Still, yeah, that's hard. What do you feel the biggest misconception of FAP is?
I think the biggest misconception that I see about FAP is that it's a death sentence.
Okay.
With regular monitoring and treatment, an individual can live a long time with FAP. I actually know someone who's turning 95 this year.
Wow.
Who has FAP.
Okay.
I guess this is going to be a huge one, especially somebody you know that's 95, but your family and friends, what role have they played in your healthcare journey?
My family, my friends, and my boyfriend have been very supportive throughout my healthcare journey. My parents are my foundation. They mm-hmm. will go to any appointment or procedure with me if I want them to. They're always there for me. My mom also has FAP, so it helps to be able to relate to it with her. She is always a great support because she knows exactly what I'm mm-hmm. going through. And then, of course, my friends have been understanding. I don't have to apologize or explain myself to them when I'm feeling ill or anything.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know what? I guess I want to put a positive spin on anything. So I'm going to say one good thing about this is the fact that you started your journey so young that all of your friends growing up with you have known about this since the beginning mm-hmm. and they can accept you as you are. It's not like something happened like that, an accident or a sudden illness or something where all of a sudden you dropped off the network and, you know, what happened to Jenny? So I guess that's one good thing, the fact that they have been with you throughout and they're there to support you. That's good.
Absolutely.
Jenny, what inspired you to start your blog, Life's a Polyp?
Well, I was following an FAP community on Facebook, and I would answer questions and talk to others frequently. And the administrator reached out to me and asked me if I would start a blog about FAP. So I went ahead and did.
Oh, nice.
Exactly.
How's that been going for you?
It's going great. I mean, I've been able to expand it. I started off as an anonymous blog.
Okay.
And then with the encouragement of others, I built up confidence, and I've branched out into all kinds of different things now.
Well, that's super. Are you global?
Yes. I mean, I have followers from all over the world.
Excellent.
Nice.
The shop is able to ship to people all over the world. So it helps that raise awareness that way too.
That's nice.
I imagine
diet, certainly.
Yeah. Right. So what kind of lifestyle changes have helped you along the way?
So now I have to avoid eating crunchy vegetables because they cause me intestinal blockages because mm-hmm. of my adhesions getting worse. And then, like I said, I take a lot of medicines, mainly for my energy level, my chronic pain, and my nausea. And they help me so I can function every day, or mostly every day.
But the only diet change was really dropping the crunchy vegetables?
Yeah, some people they do other things with their diets, like they might have more fiber and they do different things like low inflammatory diets. But I want to enjoy what I eat, and so I don't worry about it.
Okay. Is it possible to blend your vegetables like in a smoothie? Does that help any? Or
yeah, I can have them, like if I puree them or mm-hmm. mash them. I can do that. I just can't have raw, crunchy vegetables.
Okay. All right. And Jenny, what lifestyle changes have helped you?
So if I'm having a lot of stomach pain, then like laying down will help, or like even a pregnancy support belt will help with that. But I try to do counseling, and I do meditation when I can to help with my mental health with it. And I try to exercise. I do feel better when I exercise, mm-hmm. but I'm just not very regular with it.
Okay. All right. How about heating pads or anything like that? Does that help?
Sometimes heating pads will help, especially like if I'm having an intestinal blockage, that can help relieve some of the pain from it. And it's just kind of comforting too.
Okay.
What is the future of care look like for people with FAP?
So some FAP patients will take NSAIDs to help reduce their polyp growth. Some require chemotherapy if they've developed colon cancer before they had their colon removed. You might have to have chemo or proton therapy if you have a desmoid tumor. But I think the future really lies within a cancer vaccine.
Okay.
I've read studies about the progress of developing effective colon cancer vaccines, and I think that's where we'll lead to one day.
Oh, okay. What about like gene therapy or anything like that, since it's sometimes hereditary?
Definitely. I think that would be an option too, to be able to edit that gene mutation.
Yeah, right. Has the fact that knowing the knowledge that you might pass it on, has that influenced your decision to have children of your own?
It definitely did. I decided to get sterilized, and so I would not be able to pass it on to a child of mine.
Okay.
I was going to have a surrogate and do in vitro and only pick eggs that did not have that gene, but mm-hmm. ultimately I decided that to just forego and live the way I live.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to make sacrifices in order to keep our lives, you know, as healthy as we can, and that's, mm-hmm. thank you. How has your healthcare journey influenced your career choices?
So I experienced a lot of medical trauma when I was a child and a teenager, and that led me to the medical social work because I wanted to help others mm-hmm. learn to adjust and cope with their illnesses. Mm-hmm. I didn't want people to feel alone or have difficulty with it like I did as a kid.
It sounds like you're a very empathetic person yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And dealing with all of this as a child is definitely a struggle. So I'm sure that that's always been in the back of your mind that, you know, if I can get through this, I'm going to help somebody else get through this.
Absolutely.
That's nice. Jenny, could you tell us more about your about your blog? Oh, I'm sorry. are there any online support groups that or awareness campaigns that can help people that are living with FAP?
Definitely. There's a lot of FAP groups on Facebook, and there's also FAPvoice.com. it has a social media component to it as a community, but it also has a database for research articles and clinical trials that can be very helpful. And also the University of Michigan has a online and an in-person support group for those with hereditary colon cancer syndromes like FAP.
University of Michigan has a online support group. Okay. You know, we were just talking with another guest that it's amazing that some hospitals will specialize in certain things. Mm-hmm. So University of Michigan seems to be the go-to place for FAP then.
It definitely has a good department for it.
Good.
Okay, all right. Do you live near them? Or, oh, no, you're in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, right.
So no, I came across them through the FAP groups on Facebook okay. and got involved with their support group that way.
Oh, okay, great, great.
So, Jenny, what advice would you have for somebody who's recently diagnosed with FAP?
I would say definitely don't put off medical tests. The colonoscopies aren't fun by any means, but they are essential for staying on top of FAP. And that includes medical testing for children, because often I'll hear parents say that they're advised to delay testing for their kids until they're a teenager. But
why?
You know, in my case,
why would people do that?
And it's just every case is different. There's not a set timeline for FAP. So the sooner you test and monitor, the better.
Sure. Yeah, that would be. I mean, I'm overprotective, but I mean, you know, if I had it and I knew that there was a chance that I gave it to my kids, I would definitely start them out right away.
Absolutely.
And then do a routine to follow up.
Yes.
So that's great advice.
Yeah. This was too short. Let's dig in a little bit more about the short bowel syndrome. What are the clinical manifestations of short bowel syndrome for a person? So in other words, what does that end up turning out to be as a person day-to-day life? How does it affect a person's life?
So it causes diarrhea typically. So you have a lot of frequent bowel movements and they're loose, and that's going to affect your absorption. And it's going to cause you to be dehydrated too. So then you have to watch all your electrolytes and your water intake too.
Sure.
And some people, it can be so severe that they have to have artificial hydration nutrition, temporarily or permanently.
Okay. So they might have to have IVs and...
Or something similar to that.
Right.
And like a IVs and like a feeding tube.
Okay. All right. We have a guest that is developing a line of...
Adaptable
clothing for people that have stomas or J-tubes or anything like that, so that there's easier access. Is that something that you've found already, or are you looking for something like that?
I think it's a great idea. I know sometimes people, they feel like they can't wear regular clothes because of their ostomy. They worry about it being too tight, and that definitely can be a concern because you don't want anything too tight. But, I mean, you can wear regular clothes. But I think adaptable is even better.
Yeah. Rafiq, right? Is that her name? Okay.
And I'm younger than you, and I can't remember.
All right. Well, we're gonna definitely have her on the show again. And
get her that information.
What?
I said we can definitely get Jenny that information.
Yeah, if you go to our website and you look up... Adaptable clothing on our website, you'll find that episode. And she has a line... I think specifically for this. So
I believe she said that, yeah.
Yeah, this would be great for you.
Absolutely, I'll do that.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Well, I'd like to just, you can find me at lysapolyp.com.
Yep.
And my shop, it raises the research funds for FAP through the National Organization for Rare Diseases.
Okay.
And that's cafepress.com/lysapolyp.
Okay.
And all my social media handles are lysapolyp, and I'll be coming out with my children's book to teach kids about FAP. It should be coming out in February next of 2022. I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
Good for you. Great. You have something on YouTube as well, right?
Yes, and it's youtube.com/lysapolyp.
Okay. Well, we are going to put links for all of that on our website. We build a page for each of our guests, so we'll definitely put links, and we'll be passing that information along.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
I appreciate it.
Well, stay healthy, and we look forward to watching your success in the future.
Thank you.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please take a time to leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.